Today, the through line is trust in the systems that vouch for things. The company that checks your driver's license at the door, the mail server that decides you are who you say you are, the model that tells you which software to buy. Every one of them had a rough day. This is Claude Code Field Notes for September 3, 2026. 10 stories on the rundown. I'm Shmoog. Brian Krebs went looking for his own driver's license on a dark web search site and found it. The site called Nexus launched advertising searchable access to a pile of identity documents. Krebs searched it, his license came back, and so, per his reporting, did the license of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. That is how the industry learned that IDScan, a Louisiana identity verification company, appears to have been breached. The reported haul is more than 150 million driver's licenses and passport photos from the United States and Canada, growing by roughly 500,000 a day. IDScan is the kind of vendor nobody chooses. Its checks sit behind the bar that scans your license at the door, the cannabis shop verifying age, the car rental counter, and a long tail of online age checks. IDScan's chief operating officer said the company was investigating. The Nexus site went dark shortly after Krebs published, and the FBI's New Orleans field office has opened an investigation. None of that undoes the exposure. A password can be rotated after a breach. A driver's license cannot. Same pattern. Further up the chain, and this time with a name attached. If you freelance, the message from a prospective client is the whole business, which is exactly what this operation rented out. Roughly 80,000 users of a major freelance platform were targeted, about half of them in the United States, and the ones who opened the wrong attachment lost control of their machines and their data. A federal grand jury in Northern California has indicted Sergei Denektulev, a 40-year-old Russian national, on charges including conspiracy, transmission of malicious code, and aggravated identity theft. Prosecutors say he and his co-conspirators stood up about 255 fake client accounts and sent job pitches carrying booby-trapped spreadsheet attachments. The indictment covers June 2016 through November 2017. Aktulayev was arrested in Cyprus in May of last year, extradited in August, and appears in court on October 5th. A patch shipping is supposed to be the end of a story. Microsoft shipped this one on August 11th, and 3 weeks on, roughly 22,000 Exchange servers are still exposed. The flaw, tracked as CVE-2026-62911, is a critical authentication bypass that lets an attacker escalate privileges across a network. The exposure is concentrated. The United States accounts for about 6,200 of those servers, and Germany about 5,100, where the Federal Cybersecurity Office reckons 85% of on-premises Exchange servers are unprotected. The Dutch National Cybersecurity Center says a working exploit is circulating. Microsoft has not confirmed it. Point that same problem at a machine, though, and the numbers run the other way. 70%. That is the rate at which Google says its new security-tuned model finds real vulnerabilities across 20 programming languages and code that was not written to be a benchmark. Gemini 3.8 Flash Cyber shipped yesterday alongside the General 3.8 Flash. On a patching benchmark, it clears 47% on the first attempt. And Google's own Chrome security team reports it writing 2.6 times more correct patches than the leading commercial alternative. The general model is the volume play, posting 54.9% on the verified humanities last exam set at 75 cents per million input tokens. Flash Cyber does not ship to everyone. It sits behind an application process Google calls the Fairwind program, restricted to what it describes as trusted defenders. A model good enough to find 70% of real bugs is a model good enough that Google would rather pick who holds it. Which raises the sharper version of that question. What happens when you cannot read the model's work at all? OpenAI's newest reasoning model, Astra, uses a technique the company calls recurrent depth, and a number of AI safety researchers are unhappy about it. Rather than reasoning step by step in text a monitoring system can read, the model loops internally in latent space, leaving far fewer legible traces of how it got where it went. Buck Schlageris, who runs Redwood Research, warned that scaling the technique up destroys chain-of-thought monitorability outright. Zvi Moshowitz called it playing with fire. OpenAI's chief scientist, Yakub Pachaki, says the company has worked to preserve chain-of-thought monitoring since its first reasoning models and that Astra's use of the technique is limited for now. What makes this more than a principle is practical. Readable chains of thought are what investigators use to reconstruct what OpenAI's own rogue agent had been doing. From the labs to the courthouse, the ruling is sealed for 14 days, so the biggest antitrust decision of the year arrived as a headline with no body attached. The shape is known. Judge Leonie Brinkema has decided Google will not have to sell off its advertising technology business and will instead have to change how it runs that business to leave competitors room. This is the second of two Justice Department cases, the first filed in 2021 after Search. The second, filed in 2023, went after the AdStack and Brinkma, ruled in April of last year that Google held an illegal monopoly there. The department asked for a breakup and did not get one. Google's vice president for regulatory affairs said the company was very pleased. It matches the Search case, where Judge Amit Mehta declined to force a sale of Chrome or Android. Two monopoly findings, two refusals to break anything up. Legal pressure quietly rewriting a product is the pattern of the day, and it does not always take a ruling. If you have asked Claude for song lyrics lately and been turned down, you have met a lawsuit. Simon Willison went through the newly published system prompt for Claude Fable 5.1 and found a broad new ban on reproducing lyrics, poetry, and passages from books, landing close to the copyright suits from Sony Music and Warner Chappell. The same section bars generating copyrighted characters and logos, including through code. Two other changes stand out. The prompt now permits overdose information and points users to harm reduction resources. And Willison notes there are prompt layers Anthropic does not publish, which caps what this tells you. A company backing a $15 billion acquisition is a company that thinks it is too small. Uber's board spent this week backing exactly that bid for Delivery Hero, and in the same news cycle told 3,300 people they were out. That is 10% of the global workforce, and it is not spread evenly. Management takes the hardest hit, with roughly a fifth of those roles going. Teams of one or two people are being halved. The cuts concentrate on staff more than seven layers below the chief executive, and remote work is effectively finished, with under 1% keeping it. Dara Khosrowshahi framed it as complexity rather than money. Growth, he said, brought more layers, more coordination and structures that made sense at a smaller size. What is freed up goes to rides, delivery, and robot access by the scale. Cut the org chart that came with the last round of it. One company subtracting people to fund its bets. Another spent the same day adding power to fund its own 396 megawatts. That is what Google has agreed to buy from Fervo Energy's Cape Station plant in Utah, with an option on another 600 megawatts through June of 2030. Cape Station is enhanced geothermal, which means drilling deeper than conventional plants to reach heat that exists almost everywhere, not just where it nears the surface. Fervo is permitted for 2 gigawatts at the site, and an independent assessment suggests twice that. 4 gigawatts from one site would roughly double United States geothermal capacity. The plant is expected online in 2028. The context is Google's power problem, which is everyone's power problem. The company holds a net zero target for 2030 and a build-out that keeps outrunning its clean supply, which is how it also signed for 933 megawatts of natural gas in April. Geothermal runs around the clock, which is what is worth the drilling. Last today, a look at where AI answers actually come from. When Perplexity recommends software, a new report finds, it is often citing pages built for no purpose but to be cited. Researchers traced three sites, WorldMetrics, Wifidolence, and GitNux, publishing 215,128 machine-generated best-of-buying guides between them. All three launched between December 2023 and May 2024, share name servers, and run one template. The researchers pulled 7,534 citations across 380 categories. Those three sites accounted for about 2%, so the story is not one network capturing results. It is the shape of the rest. Just under 60% of cited domains fall outside the top 100,000 sites, and 23% outside the top million. The third most cited domain was a vendor blog. The retrieval layer under these answers reaches into the thin and the obscure by default, and pages built to be machine-readable rather than useful are what waits there. That is the rundown for September 3rd, 2026. Thanks for spending part of your day here, and for sticking with it through a fairly heavy news cycle. I appreciate you making the room for it. I'm Shmug, this has been Claude Code Field Notes, and I will see you on the next one.